Man, I wish somebody would have told me the truth a long time ago. Nobody sat me down and say, look, this ain't that and that ain't this. I was deceived for so long. It's only right that I expose all this deception. In the mighty name of Jesus. Carry on, young soldier. Listen.
Who told you gangsters go to heaven? Huh? Who told you money make you real? Tell me. Who told you pistols make you tough? And you don't see all the dead bodies on the field? Man, who said that mercy's for the weak? Who said forgiveness is for chumps? They say a coward dies a thousand deaths, a soldier dies but once. Hey, they mourn you for a week and they forget you in a month. Who told you God doesn't exist? Who told you God was just a myth? Who planted seeds of disbelief inside your mind so you could trip? Hey, who told you Jesus doesn't love you? Who said you couldn't be forgiven? Do you not know how much he loves you? Listen, do you not know the king is risen? Who told you Christian rap was whack? Whoever said that man was whack. The truth will hit you hard and knock you flat down on your back. Who told you Christian rap was whack? Whoever said that man was whack. The truth hit you so hard and knock you flat down on your back. Hey, two things either happen. Hey, one, you gon' get mad and hate me for correcting you, for pointing out what's bad. Or two, you get convicted and cry out because you sad and ask God to forgive you for the trespasses you had. You either run to him or run from him, and I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. You run to him or run from him. I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. Everything they told me was a lie, and man, I know that now. It's only right we hit the streets and we expose that now. And dirty devil should've killed me. And Holy Spirit, come and seal me. Fill me with new strength again, now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Fill me with new strength again, now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Hey, I confide in you with confidence, my Lord, cause greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world, ay. I confide in you with confidence, my Lord. Greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world. Who told you God couldn't be trusted? Man, I'm trying to tell you, you could trust him. He loves you deeply, please believe me. He hates to see his children suffering. See, I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that he's the answer, he gives hope, man, to the hopeless. I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that Christ the answer, he gives hope, man, to the hopeless, yeah. Who told you?
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made, brand new, never been used before. We shall rejoice and be glad in it because he has blessed us to do so. Hallelujah. We're still here. Amen. But we out. Listen, I got a new term called RapCon. It's called Rapture Condition. Imminent. We in RapCon 1. It's kind of like DEFCON 1. Because I tell you, some things have been happening. If you're looking, if you're expecting, the Bible said those looking for his appearing. And I am looking because all the signs are pointing to Jesus coming for us to redeem us. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving honor to Christ who is the head of our life. Amen. To the Lord God Jehovah. Oh, bless his holy name. Amen. The blessed Holy Spirit and Pastor overall. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Gerald overall. Amen. And the Running for Christ ministry and his lovely wife and all the saints and friends. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. And all the different saints and friends that I've met. And I thank you for all the, you know, the increase of activity. Amen. On my website. That's a marvelous blessing. Amen. I asked God, I'm like, am I just spinning my wheels? And he showed me something. Amen. But I just thank God, amen, for this opportunity before you, be before you. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank you. Because without the saints, I'm going to tell you, I noticed, I learned something some years ago about drawing out the Spirit. And when people want to hear from God, you know, we are vessels, amen, that God channeled through. And that's it, you know. You know, I'm just as like everyone else, amen, but I sit down and I be still and I listen to God, and he tell me what to say as we go through. I mean, he knows everyone. I only know one, me. Hallelujah. I don't know what's on your mind, but I just know what he's given me. Amen. We're going to continue, amen, in power and love, because it's really been about that all along. If you take time and read the Bible with those themes, those two thoughts in mind, you will see it. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go before the throne of grace, amen, and invite the Holy Spirit in this to take over this program. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you because it came with such a high price, which tells us that we are extremely valuable to you. Father God, right now, we're asking you for something that only you can provide. And that is to give us the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available to those of us who will submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Amen. And that you will give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us, dear Lord, to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, okay, for the new people, because I thank God, I made some money today in the stock market, which I always say, I don't do Uber because of the money. I mean, it is good, but it's mainly about an opportunity to reach out to people because God guides my direction and put me in the path of people. And you'd be surprised. A lot of people are unaware that Jesus is returning. They thought he was like all the other men, the religious leaders that came and went. No, he's coming back to rule the planet. And, I mean, you know, that's awesome. Think about that. Because what this is about, this particular segment, but actually when you listen to the gospel, when you go to church and you hear your pastor speak, he is trying to elevate your mind to where you can see what God is going to do and is doing with you in your life that is going to last forever. Okay? You got to get, you know, let's, matter of fact, let's go to, well, first I want to read the headline scriptures, and one of them is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and this is was Jesus' last day on earth back then before he went back into the heaven. He still makes visits from time to time to people now. He may even visit you. I'm serious. I'm serious, serious, serious. He's been doing more visitations. But this was after his resurrection. And, you know, he, like I said, at the time that the Father decides, he sends him, he comes, and he visits with people. But this particular instance is when he's turning over the kingdom of the earth, there's a transition here. God gave man dominion over the earth. But now when he sent back, with his ascension, and by him sending back the Holy Spirit, which occurs in Acts chapter 2, that gives heaven access to earth and us access to heaven. This is not for everyone. Everyone, only those who have received Christ. You going to church don't mean you receive Christ. You have to tell him to come into your heart because you are your own person. You have a right to include or exclude whoever, okay? The devil will barge in, okay, but God will not. And this is something that is overlooked by a lot of people. This is why I think I find so many Christians or people that say they're Christians, they have no interest in God. Something wrong when the Word of God, you go all week long and you have no interest in reading His Word. You have no interest in talking to Him. You have no questions. You don't serve. Something is disconnected because I just can't see the level of the person that God is in there being that level of disconnection. Something wrong there. And I would suggest that you simply just ask Christ to come into your heart. He'll do it. He can do it. See, let me give you a quickie on the process. See, Jesus' blood, you think about it. When we say we receive the blood, you won't see nothing splash red on me, okay? But my inside, where I am in this body, my spirit, His life is applied over my life, and that then allows the Holy Spirit to cover my spirit because the Holy Spirit won't dwell in an unclean vessel. So Christ's blood, this is what all this is about, and there's a lot you got to learn. You can go online and learn about the blood, but note that what that is doing is related to your spirit man, okay? So when that's applied, you then receive the power of God. let me get through this. We can walk through this. Amen. We got time. Well, we almost got time. y'all got to look up Feast of Trumpets if you're hearing this and the rapture ain't heard. Because if it's after the rapture, you would say, man, I wish I'd have known that. Amen. It's a lot of data because God just gave a revelation concerning that, the Feast of Trumpets. Anyway, all right. Man, I don't even want to touch that. But I'm going to read verse 7. And he said to them, I'm reading for the New King James Version. Okay, all they did was took out that Elizabethan English and put it in modern English. You know, there is a hood Bible out there in case you're interested. It says, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. Now, this is the key verse here, what we're talking about. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Ecos and Southwest Detroit in your local neighborhood. That's just my translation. But see, this is the whole point. Now, you have to be able to, that gives you access to God. That when you receive Christ, God can talk to you. He can't, I don't want to lose a lot of time. I've sent you some of my videos on crisis. The simple thing is God legally, He set it up that way, can't talk to everyone. Especially since, because you have to submit to Him. Now we're gonna read the power scripture. That's one, and anyway, let's read that. Look at John 1:12. Okay, let's just breeze by that. Amen. And then we're going to go to John 13:35. All right? And you got to read, you got to go back and study this. It says, now listen at this. It says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. And if you go back to verse 1, you'll find, okay, I might as well read 13. It says, who were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's called being born again. Okay? Now, there's a lot of information on YouTube and the Internet over that. You really want to get a revelation to that. This is, listen, This is life. This is what life is. It has never been about religion. Man created religion. It's always been about learning. But when you're dealing with the problem is, the situation is, the adversary, Satan, that's his name, that's the definition of his name, has an IQ of 3,500, and men try to compete with him and try to challenge him and deal with him without the help of God. God has no limit on his intelligence, you know. And so we go into John chapter 13 and 35. And, well, we're going to read 34 and 35. And he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love, agape, one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And I find a lot of Christians haven't learned that lesson. So if I have to know how to love, you know what that means? I'm going to be engaged in some unloving situation, and then I'm going to be engaged in encountering some unloving people. And the love is, I have to have knowledge of the world, of what's really going on, okay? I have to really know what's going on in the spiritual world. This is what this is about. You got to, okay, in the end time, during the 1,000 years, as in Revelation chapter 19 and 20, there are going to be two classes of people, okay? You're going to have the survivors of the tribulation. And right now, we are second-gen man, okay? If you haven't been born again, you're still a first-gen, but that can be easily rectified. We can do that at the end of this broadcast. Now, we will have at the rapture, and those who have gone on have been transitioned to third-gen man. They have 100% use of their mind. They're not bound by gravity. They have, they haven't come back and got a return. They haven't received their bodies yet. They'll come back. If you read in First Thessalonians chapter 4, they're going to come back, reassemble their body, and then jet back to heaven, and we go into a 7-year party. You know, when I was in the world, I never partied 7 days. I don't think I ever partied 7 hours. You know, God got to be some kind of person to throw us a 7-year feast where you can eat all the chicken you want. I guess they have chicken. Whatever you eat, and you won't get fat, you won't get tired, it won't be, it's going to be the best of the best of the best of the best that we ain't never ate before. For 7 years, and then we get to travel the universe. Plus, listen, don't get all tripped up. People talk about you ain't been nowhere, ain't done nothing. You will get to come back to this planet for 1,000 years, travel all over. You'll be able to do things. You'll be able to travel in them caves and not get lost. You'll be able to see the wonders of God throughout the heavens. Don't focus on the mission right now. You know? Okay. So this is what this love is. You know, I've been seeing all this stuff with this hate. I got a hate mail on Oprah and all these other folks. Oh, listen, remember last time we talked about Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan at his right side, ready to resist him. When a person has that level of income, credits and debits, that's all it is, they give them. You can't go to the bank and withdraw cash. But anyway, Satan is coming after them. Why? Because he wants them to use that money for that influence for their purpose. When they are not saying what the word says, that is because enough of us are not covering them daily with prayer. That's our job. 1 Peter chapter 2, 5 and 9. We are the royal priesthood. We have God has given us power, authority to block the devil on their behalf. That's how we got saved. That's how I'm able to do this broadcast. I'm not able to do this. Listen, it's for me to do this broadcast. Some of y'all are praying for me. There are lots of saints praying for me. Believe me, he ain't stopped by trying to bother me. I just don't believe. I know I got greater authority over him, but it's still, okay, based, I don't want to get, look on my section on prayer, but to get more detail, but I can handle 1,000 demons, all right? So if Satan sends 10,000, guess what's going to happen? I'm not going to say the right thing, might not do the right thing, unless, you know, I mean, it's not automatic. See, God wants us to be interactive with him, using that power consistently. See, this is why when my mind, when I come on your mind, you should start praying. You should declare prayer. That's what about. That few seconds, because in that moment, see, Satan doesn't have the manpower to be constantly focused on attacking all of us, okay? But he'll try to slip in some shots. So when somebody come on your mind, you don't have to holler with prayer. You ain't got to scream. You just need to declare blessing of the power that you have authority with. Amen. Command angels. I command when people come on my mind, I command angels to encamp around about them, okay? And if they're not particularly, if they're not making an earnest effort to practice sin, God will honor that. See, you got to understand the structure of true Christianity according to the word of God, okay? This is what our function is about. You know, well, I'm going to bring this up anyway. You know, my pastor made a statement once that it shook my head, you know, occasionally. He said, every failure is a prayer failure, you know. And the first thought came to my mind was Congress, all the stupid stuff they did. But if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us to pray for all men, particularly those in authority. Again, people with money and influence are those in authority. They can only if they Christian, they can only handle 1,000. So if Satan sends 20,000 demons, guess what's going to happen? They're going to say some and do some stupid stuff. But God, you don't want to face God. All you got on your record is criticism of them. When he specifically said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, do not criticize or you will be criticized. And you know, you guess who's going to criticize you? Jesus. And guess what? He's going to be totally right and you're going to be totally guilty. See, this is how this thing is struck. It's all about learning to live in love. Because again, when we get to the 1,000 years, we're going to have to deal with some of us. But we will be at 100% mind capability. If I can't live in love now at 50%, you know I make the odds slim that God will let me be there with 100. I'm telling you, you got to look at Luke chapter 16. It's a story of a man that didn't know how to live in love. And it's challenging because I'll be challenged with that right now. I understand what these folks do. Folks standing on the corner begging all the time. They done begged up enough money that they can go down. I know Goodwill here in Detroit, I know Goodwill was giving them skill sets that they can get a job. There's doors and opportunities open for them. So you pray over that before you give to them, you know. But that ain't the case, you know, in every situation. And then there's always organizations you can donate to on a regular basis. But your dollar, think like this. You may think a dollar ain't a lot, but if a million people give a dollar, that guess what that is? $1 million. And they can do a lot with $1 million, these organizations like Feed America. All right, but anyway, all right. Jesus said he gave them. It's about, that's what it's all about. Because when love, this is what God is looking for from us. He's realized, now, what am I saying when I'm walking in love? That's saying my mind is linked to how God sees them and what God wants from them. See, because I'm God's finger, hand, part, whatever. That's what God is looking for. That's what this is about, that my man will be as it was in Christ. You know what it took for Jesus to go to the cross for a bunch of us, and he knew us. Man, true. Listen, you need to praise God, because what if he'd have sent me? I'm like, Lord, kill him. Let him pull out them 7-inch nails, man, please. No, I'm coming down off this cross. All right, so we looked at power and love. I mean, from the beginning, when God brought you into life, you came with power. You came with power. You came with power. Now, where am I? Shit. Oh, okay. All right. So now let's go back to through Ephesians. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4. No, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2 because I want you to look at something. I want you to understand this. Now, what I'm talking about in this particular aspect is that, okay, being good and living right is not what it takes to get you into heaven, okay? That just tells God you believe you're going to heaven, okay? And that you understand his love for you. I'm saying that, yeah, I hope I'm getting this to you right. In other words, you can't earn your way to heaven. You can do good. You're supposed to do good. That's if you read in James, the book of James, it tells you, you can do good. That should be part of your nature, you know, to do good. All right? That's exercising and manifesting the love of God. But that is not what qualifies you from heaven. You're telling Christ to come into your life and save you is what qualifies you. In other words, he done paid for it. Your mansion is paid for. It's a done deal, debt free. You're going to be there. All right, so let's look at this. This is in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not going to, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the whole chapter because you really need to. Hallelujah. And go through it slow, and as I say, don't read the Bible without praying and asking God for revelation. Don't read a book about the Bible without praying and asking God for a revelation. Don't ask a video, watch a video with that praying and asking God for a revelation. You want to stay connected to God. We are in, you know what, it's no longer any day the rapture is coming. It's any minute. You really, I'm telling you, if you really get a revelation of where we are, look online at the end times, all that stuff that's on there. God has given revelation, and I knew he would, toward the end make us know what time it is. It's 11:59, 59 seconds, and 59 milliseconds. I'm telling you, we ticking, talking. All right, verse 4 of chapter 2, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raise us up. Now, key in on this. Raise us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't earn this. And quiet as hell, we don't deserve this. That's what this. That word grace, you know, my pastor, Bishop Keith Butler, if you go to eStore Word of Faith, eStore.wordoffaith.cc. He has a book on grace. The word grace has 17 different definitions in there. Types of, it's not always unmerited favor, but it approaches it, I mean, in different ways. It segments and breaks it down like a pride to be applied for different aspects of our life. But the bottom line is, it says that we don't have an excuse. I'm going to make it like that. Because we got grace is the power of God operating in you with guarantee that it'll work. Okay? All right. I mean, this right here. Look, first off, he said he was rich in mercy. And people confuse. Grace and mercy are not the same. Mercy is you guilty. You know, when you say something, and you didn't, you know, and you ask God to forgive you, and he don't hit you with a lightning bolt. That's mercy, you know. You're going to have those moments. Never, don't make excuses. Don't, and don't let the devil trick you into, Lord, I done this so many times, I quit. No, listen, God has a very easy way of letting you know he's through. He'll snap, bring you on home to heaven. you still here? He means do it and pray. Listen, some things you won't conquer easily. Remember, you didn't see, but it's kind of like, I get it, because if we could see Satan coming, we could see the demon that he assigned to us, then we become aware. Just like we can see a truck coming in traffic, you know, we know that it's going to run the red light. So we know, even though we got a green light, we need to stop and let that truck know that the brake's probably out. All right? That's the best example I can think of. So if you can see the demon coming, you wouldn't do what you do, because you know what he up to, because he is, you know, all ugly looking and crazy looking. But anyway, but see, and that's why God is so merciful. He knows what we're dealing with, but what God demands, and this has been from day one with Adam, accountability. You got to be like David. When you wrong, just say, Lord, I've sinned. Okay? Don't count. Because, you know, he said if a man falls seven times, he's going to raise him up seven times. When Peter asked how many times should he forgive his brother, seven times, Jesus said seven times 70, okay, 490 times for one thing. So God's going to operate from the same standard. But what you want is a revelation from the word on how to overcome that. See, how to see it coming, how to situate yourself. I had to learn, you know, there's a lot of times I had to just shut up. That's the simple solution, because that's usually where I get into trouble, talking. You know, so I have to just shut up and listen, you know. I was joking with a friend of mine the other day and said something offensive, and it immediately convicted me, immediately, because that was just crazy. But, you know, we've been such friends, but still, it wasn't right, because particularly, you know, I called a person ugly. Now, growing up in my household, you could not call nobody ugly. You get smacked for calling somebody ugly, okay? You could say they look strange, they look different, but you could not call them ugly. See, my mother was a student of Rex Humbard and Oral Roberts, and if y'all know anything, a lot of this faith movement talk, these guys were teaching that back in the 50s, okay? That's where that came from. My mother, on Sunday, we had to watch that on TV. If you didn't want to watch that, then you went to your room or whatever. But I sat there and got brainwashed, you know. So that was every Sunday, you know. You saw that. So, but like, because they was teaching on the power of the word. That's another aspect of power that you really got to focus on, your mouth. What comes out of your mouth, you know. You know, I had a situation once years ago. My youngest son, you know, we was at church. He didn't want to go, okay, but I didn't have nobody to leave him with. You know, my older son was gone, and my wife was at work, and I couldn't leave him at home. But he just did not want to go, and he felt like he should have been able to stay home by himself. Man, please, be serious, you know. But anyway, so I took him to church. I dropped him off at the children's church, you know. And I don't know, I think he may have been about 14, 15 years old. You know, when they're teenagers, I heard a comedian say, teenagers is God revenge against us. That ain't the case. That ain't true. Anyway, this dude walked home. Now, mind you, the church is about 11 miles. That church was about 11 miles from where we live. I mean, I went to after church service, you know, I went back there to get him, and he was gone. Now, you know, immediately, first person I contacted was God, and he told me to be at peace, you know, pray for him to be protected. Now, mind you, this boy walked home. That service ended about 9 p.m., all right? He got home. He got in the area about 12:30, okay? So meantime, I'm asking God, What do I say? How do I handle this? Because, you know, at that age, you know, ain't no pulling no pants down and giving no whoopings. And the issue was, you know, so I asked God for wisdom and what it was. See, this is what is the beauty of this relationship. I can consult with the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. So, anyway, he told me when he had got in the area and where to go to pick him up. I mean, that's exactly what happened. And when I picked him up, I told him, I said, see, you proved you can do anything you put your mind to. See, this is what it is about action, dealing with God. Because I know he thought I was going to say something or do something negative. But see, the whole point is what are we doing in our lives? See, God has that time when I wasn't right, encouragement. This is where it is about what I just said a little while ago about asking God how to overcome something that's repeatedly happening to you. Why? Because you have power with God. That's mainly what Satan is always after, your authority. He exists to manipulate. That's it. But you won't learn without that. See, God can't manipulate you. He can tell you to not be manipulative, not do this. So he told Adam, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. Now, Adam was the first man to die. Did he mean D-Y-E or D-I-E? What is going to happen? He never saw death. See, and he was not omniscient. He's cognition, just like we are. He couldn't perceive that in the future that he was going to have two sons and the older son was going to murder the younger son out of jealousy. He could not know all that, okay? Until then, when he saw that lifeless body, the reality of death really set in, see? And it became a whole different situation. And that's what it is with us now. Look who provoked that instant, Satan. God couldn't provoke Cain to kill Abel because that's not his nature. He can't do that. See, Satan would have been given that opportunity in a legal sense had he waited on God. Now, I base that on 1 Kings chapter 22, where God was going to send a lion spirit to the prophets of Baal, which Ahab, who was his child, was consulting with them and would not repent. Now, understand, Ahab didn't do that one time. It had become a lifestyle. When God come after you, when judgment come against you from God, that ain't no one time. I can tell you from experience the difference between God popping me upside my head from not one thing, but not really taking serious what he was saying. See, it won't be over one instant. He give you time and revelation and information and strength to correct yourself and teach you how to fight the fight. But if you continually resist, he'll just step back and fold his arms. And then when Satan see God's arm folded, you're going to get slapped upside your head. Something's going to happen, trust me. The only thing, if you go back and you look at the book of Job, he set parameters, say you can't kill him. First round, he let him do some stuff that was crazy, and then the second round, he took it to another level. We are here because, think about this, would God send us through all this if the power wasn't so tremendous? Now, let's take a look at this power. Go to Romans chapter 8. I mean, you gotta really sit down and ponder this, and listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Now, listen at this. I mean, this, when you get a revelation of this, whenever you hear the term Spirit, Holy Spirit, Christ, and notice, listen at this, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who has raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. There ain't no greater power. I mean, think about that. Think about the magnitude of that level of authority. At the rapture, my mother's body is, if you saw it, you'd be
frightened right now, sitting in the casket, all decrepit and dead, and the skin and powderized, and I mean, it's just horrifying looking. You've seen them monster movies. You probably have seen some of the real dead people. And then she gonna come back, and my father gonna come back, and in a less than a second, reassemble every molecule, dress up and look young, about the age of 30, I'm told, and then we jet back to heaven together. Matter of fact, since we there and we in that season, let's read this. Because, see, we talk, I want you to get a picture of power. This stuff they call power, it ain't nothing, man. And people, you know, they think because they can change the money system that they all that. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing compared to what we talking about here. All right? Now, this is Paul talking to the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians were Gentiles, you know, Greek, I'm told. And this was a culture change, too, just like we are. It's amazing how much information was given to the Gentiles. Okay, so here we're going to start in this. Oh, did I tell y'all 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Okay, and then I'm going to give y'all 2 seconds. Hallelujah. All right. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will be seen from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That, for the new people, is talking about the rapture. Okay, that word caught up is hapazo in the Greek. People debate the word rapture in the Bible. Listen, it's saying people just going to jet up off the ground. Okay, what did we say? We're going to jet up? Would that make a difference if I say we're going to jet up? I mean, it doesn't matter. We're leaving here. This is the zone. So when you hear me talk about the rapture, we are in RapCon 1 right now. Listen, these events he talked about have been identified in Scripture in a way that, man, that we never knew before. In the feast, I mean, and how it's connected to the Jewish holy days, just going through right now. You can see in the world. See, we know some things about this. But again, so my point in this whole message series also is if you got to have a revelation for God, there's some things I can't tell you. Okay? Like the prayer of imprecation, imprecation. You would have to see God about that, okay? Because it's talking about a level of authority and power that you must be mature enough to handle. It's like somebody with a fully automatic machine gun. It's a whole different level, But God, this has always been, and it's always been in the Bible. It didn't just happen, didn't just start, but God wanted us to focus on what Jesus said, that they would know that we are his students because we have love one to another instead of stabbing each other in the back and criticizing and finding fault. Listen, if you want to find fault, look at the person in the mirror. That's what I do. That guy got issues. I have to work on him every day. I have to tell him, shut up. I mean, it's really, you know, get up, go, do, just do what God told you to do. You know, I mean, that's enough. I don't mean, I ain't got time. So, see, but not because I'm willing to pray for anybody, anybody, really. Pray for a God that doesn't. Why? Why would I not want to see them blessed, particularly if they are in leadership in this name? I pray for the president. I do. I pray earnestly, and I can't pray effectively for him. I keep track of time. Effectively without love. Power and love go together. They are inseparable. It's like faith, love, and power. They're inseparable. Okay? They're inseparable. Because why? This is what God is our source of love. And that's really something that married people have to realize. Your husband really, he can give you love, but he's not your source. That's a big, deep thing right there. God gave me that revelation. See, what God does, he source us. And we're supposed to give to each other. That's for us married folks. See, that way we will always, I won't be able to say, nobody love me. I can't say God don't love me. See, so he give me love to give. And this is what we are supposed to master in our lifetime. And this tells God what we will do at 100% level. I mean, think about what you do. I'm hearing more preachers than I knew I would toward the end of time. You know, talk about what we'll be able to teleport to another planet at the speed of thought. Think about that. Do you know that if you take that and you compile energy, if you go up like 25 miles in space, then turn around and come down toward the earth at speed of thought, you'll be traveling faster than when Satan obliterated the earth when he got kicked out of heaven. He was only traveling at the speed of lightning, which is 220,000 miles per hour. And he obliterated. That's what caused right there, in where it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth was void and without form. I never understood that scripture until God exposed and gave us the revelation of what happened. When Satan got kicked out of Revelation chapter 12, and Revelation chapter 12 is one of those sections of the Bible that have the law has applied to it that they teach us in Bible class, the law of double reference, because they just realized another revelation from that particular scripture that has manifested in a dynamic way. If you can look it up, Revelation 12, Revelation, I guess Revelation 12 revealed or something like that. It's mind-blowing, but it marks time in a way that it has never done and never will be again, and only God can do that. But that's another whole issue. So, again, what monitors power? Okay? Love. That's the police. Love is the police. God is love. God is love. I'm telling you, God is love. So he's saying, if you want to access my power, this is what you got to do. This is how it operates. That's how we would want society to function, okay, with concern for the other's well-being, okay? That's what love is about. It's a concern by unselfish concern for another person's well-being. Seeing they are in need. See, whenever I see particular politicians and they're acting like they're out of their mind, or in their mind, because they ain't got the mind of Christ. They have to say they're acting out of the mind of Christ. That's the best way. Then I know they being overwhelmed by a demonic force. And then what if it's only like 1,500? And then I don't pray for them. If I stand there and criticize them, what God gonna show me on Judgment Day is my criticism, and I'm going to be condemned for it. That's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. I don't want to, believe me, I got enough stuff. I don't want to add nothing to it. But why? We are here to learn. How you going to learn? There's no assumption that you know what this is about. I meet people that they immediately try to justify being human and that we all sin. We all, really? That happened from day one. Yes, because you're not God. That ain't an excuse to be in sin, and you ain't going to be able to stand before God and say, well, they sin. Like, I deal with them. I'm dealing with you over you. See, There's, as you know, for those of you that don't know, there are two thrones. There's two judgments. There's a judgment for the believers, okay, called the Bema in the Greek, B-E-M-A. And then there's the white throne judgment in Revelation. Everybody go to white throne is guilty. They just hearing their charges and then get cast into the lake of fire. And they'll go for being stupid. That's what it is. You know, sad. I ain't going there. You know, and then when you die, if you die now, the jail is Hades, and it stank. I mean, stank like you can't imagine. I mean, you ever smell the dead carcass multiplied out by like 100? That's what hell smell like. And it's hot. Hot stank. And then it's crazy demons running around there biting on you. Yeah, you better read the Bible. There's some stuff down there. Ain't nothing good about hell. Ain't no cool. Ain't having no rock concert. All that old light and stuff put out. I remember somebody talking about all the stars that supposedly may be down there and they having a concert. That ain't happening. That ain't even happening. Shoot. That place stank as all get out. Now, let me get back here. I mean, look at this picture here in First Thessalonians. See, this is the level of God, level of power. This is what I see when I see the word likeness in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. See, God level authority. You know, that was another one that I remember when our pastor hit us with that. A man is a God class, small g, being. But the magnitude of that. The magnitude of that right now, I mean, it's just something. You know, you think about what happens when you eat some food. You don't give your body step-by-step instructions. See, you're not even fully cognizant of what's going on with your body when you eat and all the activity that's going on that your spirit is fully aware of because that's how you function. And if you don't think your spirit is doing it, you've never seen a corpse before. I have. I've seen dead bodies. And believe me, when the person is up out of there, you could put barbecue up under their nose and they will not move. They won't reach up and bite it. If they do, you better cast that demon out. But anyway, but it's amazing. It's really amazing. Then you really, the reality, I remember one incident. At May 7, 1988, I crashed a motorcycle at 95 miles an hour. I mean, that was an experience. You know, I found myself fighting to hold on to my body. It was really a trip. It was like, man, you know, I'm trying to, I really got a revelation of what we are. I'm telling you. Then when I got connected with it, before that, I used to do weightlifting, and I would do these exercises called flies. With 65-pound dumbbells, with ease, like somebody that do it with 10 pounds. And then at that point, I couldn't even raise my hand to answer the telephone. To get out of the hospital, the doctor said I had to walk 4 feet to the bathroom. Man, it was like dragging somebody to the bathroom. I was sweating bricks. That's when I started this, and I was just still learning. Because, again, you are a spirit. With the mind, will, and emotion, we're going to pick up on that next week, inside of a body. That body, I know some college professors might have told you that body is you and that's a, No, it ain't. That's a lie from the heart of Satan. That's a lie from the heart of Satan. You are a spirit made in your body, and you are made in the image and likeness of God. And believe me, trust me. But you really want to understand this because that's what this life is about, learning to manage. You will see that if you think about it when you read through the scriptures, you see that. And we have an advantage in that we have documented history of people that have gone through various aspects of life that missed it, okay? But we now, just like I say, Joshua and Zechariah, in the book of Zechariah chapter 3, he didn't know Satan was there ready to resist him. I didn't know until I read it. There's not a whole lot of data on him in the Bible, but you see him. Actually, in some other books it is. But anyway, the point of the matter is That's his purpose, sadly, because he jumped out of line. He's going to hell. You know, Jesus said, hell was made for Satan and his angels. That's what hell was made for. And then men stopped volunteering it. And in Isaiah chapter 5, I believe verse 12, or in that vicinity, God expanded hell because men decided that they was going to follow after Satan. See, at any time, they could have stopped and approached God, just kneel before him, and he would have given them revelation that they needed. That's evident by the men in the Old Testament that did live right before God. See? So, you know, God is a just God. God is a just God. Hallelujah. All right? So, you know, this is powerful, but bear in mind, we are in this season. This is something I want and I want to give y'all, and that is, this is my own personal belief. You know, I've seen in the Bible, and you look at, if you study Isaiah chapter 1, you see, I ran across a word called vain oblation, okay? Understand, they didn't have what we have. They did not have the Holy Spirit like we have, even though they could approach God, you know. The one that had the most access, they, you know, was the priest and the king and the prophet, but they could access God. That's seen through a woman named Hannah who sought God for a child, and he answered her prayer, all right? But now, in that chapter, they got into a certain condition where they were bringing big offerings to the temple, and God called it a vain oblation. He could have just said vain offering, but he specifically called it a vain oblation. Now, so, and my point on this is that Israel had left Egypt with gold, and they finally got to the place where they could grow that gold, spend that gold, and then they just got amnesia. See, when people think don't get into that mindset that after all your needs are met, you don't really need God, because you're going to always need God. You know, because one thing about it, this is like part one. You want to make it to part two. Now, I ain't got time to explain to you how I know there's a whole lot of gugaba money coming into the United States, okay? But I am absolutely sure it's not mythological. You know, I might talk about it one day, and you can clearly see it, all right? But understand that toward the end times, as we are now, that is going to be how Satan, this is how Israel wound up in captivity. For new people, when Jesus came, Israel was no longer a nation. They had been in, they was in captivity and under the Roman government. All right. Now, that happened because what? They allowed themselves to get distracted. Trust me. That has money you put pressure on people, they will pray. You give them prosperity, they get amnesia. You see it. When you read the Old Testament, you'll see that happen repeatedly. Okay, so I'm telling you this, at some point in time, this is what I've held, this is what I think the rapture hadn't happened. Some point in time, there's going to be a bum rush of money, particularly Christians, and particularly Christians that pray a lot. Now, is it a blessing? You will be the determining factor, because if it draws you, you keep your relationship with God, it's a blessing. But if you give up your relationship and pursue that which is not of God, it's then a curse, okay? But expect that, because I believe that's why the rapture hasn't happened. There's some things in the Bible going on. Read James chapter 5. If God is going to meet, he's dedicated to, Jesus said, not one jot nor one tittle shall fail. So that's part, that's in action right now. And see, even though Satan thinks he's plotting it, see, it's not going to turn out like he thinks, because I know it won't affect me. I done been through that experience, all right? But anyway, so I hope I said something to keep your interest. I thank God for those that are interested. I mean, I was really blessed. It really blessed my heart to see the great increase of visitation to my website. I'm going to have to work on that website. My help left me and went to Texas. But anyway, hallelujah. But anyway, to get access, you may not, this may be the first time you heard this or a message like this. It may even be after the rapture. I'm telling you, we're in that zone. But anyway, this is how simple it takes to receive that power that I talked about it. That because of God's great mercy, even it says, even though while we were dead in trespasses, you don't have to get right to get right. God will get you right. Okay? And anyway, so it simply starts with this. You have to acknowledge that the Lord is God and that Jesus is his son and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And just say this prayer behind me. Father God, I believe that you are the true and the living God. And I believe that that Jesus is your son and that he came and he died and was resurrected and is alive now. And all that was done because we are born in sin. And I acknowledge that, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, I am saved and I am born again. And if you're coming back to the Lord, just say, Lord God, I ask forgiveness. I was deceived by Satan, and I thank you for it. According to 1 John 1:9, you said, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, man, I tell you, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. You know, people be doing all kind of stuff thinking they getting saved, going to church and burning candles and all that, and they don't even take all that. It's just they get the first step. It's like playing baseball and you swing and run the second base, and they miss first base. And I think a lot of people may wind up left behind thinking that way because they went to the wrong source. They never went to God. They never went to God. I mean, really, you always want to go to God. You know, like I say, when my pastor say something, I don't get it right away, I go to God. I go to God because they be at college level and they forget us because kindergarten people. But anyway, know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. And if we're still here, we'll see you next week. Amen.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no cloud get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Today.
I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful.
I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here. Life comes and goes, make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Down to my heart, down to my heart.
heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down.